Blog Talk Radio.
I'll be calling him Keenan and everything else.
little young boy, you know, caught this disease from a bacterial infection, and you know, ended up having to have his leg amputated as a result. And you know, he's just a young boy, and you know, really touched me when his mother, you know, had him to come on video cam, and he was thanking everybody for their prayer. And it's just so humbling, you know, for a seven-year-old kid, you know, just had his leg amputated, to be in that spirit and to want to live, because it was a five-year-old boy that came in with the same disease that he had gotten, you know, infected with and died. And so he used the death of this other young boy as a reason to live and to not give up. And then so, you know, the thought always comes in people's minds, you know, why does the Most High allow bad things to happen to good people or who we would consider innocent? And so I wanted to address that question. And I don't know how long this precept will be, how many lessons will be broken up into. I'm going to do my best with it. I don't have anything, quote unquote, formally prepared. We just want Yah to talk on this thing, and to I want him to just use me to let us understand where he's coming from. And you know, we first got to understand that he is sovereign. We make petitions to him, and our prayers are petitions to the Most High. We want him to move in our favor, but our petition should be, what is his will? What would you have done, Most High? What do you desire in this situation? And that's really where we should be coming from in our prayer. But we, you know, a lot of times we pray and we try to move the Most High to our position. And one thing that we learned is that the Most High is going to do what he wants. And if what you want is the same thing that he wants, then your prayer may be answered in the positive, in the affirmative. But if your prayer is not what he wants, he's going to get what he wants. And so a lot of the times, you know, we feel like if we don't hear from the Most High or what we want doesn't happen, that he didn't hear our prayer or he's against us or, you know, we're not good enough. It's something, it becomes about us. And it's never about us, only in that we are obedient, because we are put here for his pleasure. We are put here to make him smile. And so it's not about us, and we need to realize that. So I want to try to tackle this, you know, this particular question, because I know that there are a lot of times people are hurting. People will walk away from the Most High. They will, you know, be mad at the Most High. They will lose faith if they feel like something happened to someone that they didn't think deserved for that to happen to. And so we need to take a look at this, you know, topic and really find out how the Most High operates. Because I think a lot of the times, well, I don't think I know, a lot of the times that we believe that the Most High operates a certain way. But when you really look at this thing, the way that he operates is that his will be done. And everything was created for him. He put everything in existence for himself. And so we want him to try to make us happy and you know, do what we want to have done. But the Most High is like, hey, I don't want that. It's not what I want. It's not my desire. It's not my will. And then, you know, we get an attitude. We get hurt feelings. We feel like, you know, he's not a just God. He don't, you know, he's not looking out for me. And so we're going to look at the book of Job. And we probably will be, Job is it's a big book, a lot in Job. And, you know, so, and I don't want to per se, tackle the entire thing of Job, because there's a lot going on in Job. But yet and still, we see relationships in Job. And we see, you know, Job's relationship with the Most High. We see the relationship of Job and his children. We see the relationship of Satan and the Most High. Because, see, a lot of people don't really understand the relationship that Satan has with the Most High. It's like, you know, Satan is this forever wicked being, and the Most High has no control over him. And that's not anywhere by any means true. Satan does rebel against the Most High because he wants to actually, it's Lucifer that actually rebels, but I'm not going to get into the difference between the two in this lesson, that rebels against the Most High. Satan does what Satan was designed and created to do. And he don't do anything. We're going to look at this. So I want you to understand he does not do anything without the Most High blessing it and allowing it. You know, so people think that Satan, you know, is this bad actor on his own, doing his own thing, what he wants to do. But I'm going to show you that that's not the case. And so we just need to understand when all everything is said and done, Satan is like the toilet brush. That when you get through using it, when you use it all up, you don't give it honor, you throw it away. You know, you don't take the toilet brush and put it, you know, in a special place. And say, oh, you were a good toilet brush. And you scraped up all the doo-doo and mess that I needed you to scrape up. And I'm going to honor you. No. See, that's Satan. And you got to understand that is, he's doing what he was designed to do. That's why he says, if you resist him, he will flee. He tells you how to defend yourself against it. But you got to know that and do it. So before I get into the precept, because I want to do this from that standpoint, we're going to do a little bit of reading in Job, and we're going to be looking for some specific things. And I just want to take my time because I want us to get rid of these hurt feelings, these feelings of insecurity, these feelings of we might have an ought against the Most High and don't even know we have an ought, have something against him. We blame him for allowing something to happen. We blame him for not answering our prayer in the way that we want it answered. And, you know, it may cause us to lose faith. It may cause us to blaspheme. And that's a scary thing, okay? It may cause us to blaspheme him. And we may be aware or not even aware that we're doing it. And so I want to make sure that, you know, we have this understanding and that we don't do that. Because Yah is Yah, and Yah will do what Yah will do. He don't answer to no one, not even you. And we got to know that and put ourselves back in our places where we belong. So that when we go before him, we understand that it's just a petition. And he can say no. He can grant it. He can grant it in a modified way, you know, in a way that, you know what, my child is asking me for this. They think that what they're asking for is the best solution for the situation. I'm going to solve it for them in a way that is going to be way better than even what they were asking for. He can do those things, and he does. But he doesn't always do that. It seems to be when he doesn't do it, that's when we have issues. That's when we feel like he don't hear my prayers. He's not listening. I'm doing something wrong. We get attitude. Or we feel like our walk is not all that. Whatever the case may be, we need to understand, according to the book, how he operates and how he deals. You know, I'm going to ask you a question. I just want you to ponder this question, and then we're going to go ahead and pray in and do those things because this is a serious, you know, issue. Can the Most High brag on you? Can the Most High brag on your life? Contemplate that. Can he brag on your life? Or would he be ashamed? Would he hold contempt for your life? Because, see, we always seem to want to, in a roundabout way, judge him by what he does and doesn't do. and if he does or doesn't answer prayer. And we really got this thing reversed. And can the Most High brag on your life? And you may not want him to brag on your life. No matter how righteous, no matter how you think you are, no matter how righteous you might believe that you are, you still may not want the Most High to brag on your life. So we're going to look at this, okay? And like I said, I don't know how many precepts this is going to take. I'm going to move as the Most High moves me. I really want to decrease and let him speak. And so I pray that, that's what happens, that I decrease and he speaks and speaks to us his will in this thing. So let me have the ladies cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. We want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general. We want to greet you whether you're in North America or South America, whether you are in the Far East, or the Middle East, the European theater, or the Communist Bloc countries, wherever you are listening to this broadcast from, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ in the English. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Things. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this Sabbath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name, Father. Glory, 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 glory to your name. Father, we just bow down and we worship you. And we magnify your name and we extol thee, O Yah Elohim. For you are worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. There is none like unto you, O Yah Elohim. No, not one, Father. And we were made for your pleasure. Hallelujah, Father. And we bow down as your creation. And we extol thee, O Father. We give thee adoration. And we honor you on this your day. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our sins and repent from our wicked ways and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would turn your eyes and your ears back towards your people Israel, and that you would hear our prayers and our supplications. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have done and walked contrary to you. and that you have walked contrary to us. And Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly. And Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But Father, this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey by Elohim. Father, come and deliver us from this captivity. Bring us back again into our own land. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call a Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and obey and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Let us go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. And this is, First Kings chapter 8 is really to the world, but this portion is really dedicated to Israel. And if you read up higher, you know, there's portions in this prayer of Solomon that was for the entire world. The Most High has told me to call on the seed of Israel, to call those that are asleep, and to wake them. And so this is what we are supposed to be praying for and all about. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46, and I'm going to personalize it because when we personalize the scriptures, we feel them more and we know that they are talking to us. A lot of times people like the scriptures talking to somebody else. But when you personalize them and you make them your own, then they speak to you differently. So 1 Kings chapter 8, I'm not adding to or taking away from the word, just going to personalize. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whither we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication. Hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people of the earth, for all the earth is mine, and you he unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohims which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which Yah, Elohim of your father, giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah, thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. The book of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Remember, the Most High says, I love them that love me. If you love me, keep my commandments. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar.
been changed, I've been changed. I'll be the first to say I was one of them, that we only live by grace. And just by faith, I was taught to listen to what my pastor say. Only you should trust in him, he'll never lead you astray. But now that I know better, he don't even live according to the letter. They throw away the Holy Scriptures, telling me that it's all done with. Like the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. It is written that his word don't change. Why do you lie and defy the Holy Scripture just to satisfy your desire? And now that I know better, he don't even live according to the letter. They throw away the Holy Scripture, telling me that it's all done.
Chains, they've been broken. I've been changed.
All right. Amen, 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 amen. Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 1. The book of Job, chapter 1. The book of Job deals with the issue of why Elohim allows bad things to happen to good people. Job chapter 1, verse 1. Let's look and see what type of person Job was, okay? There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and this man was perfect and upright, one that feared Elohim and eschewed or hated evil. And there was And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Let's stop here for a minute. So Job was perfect and upright. For all practical purposes, we would say Job is a good person. Now, this is the Most High's witness of Job. Let's keep reading. Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Let's see what he did. Now, we're going to see what he had first because the Most High blessed him. So verse 3. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. Job is the richest man of what they would call the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day. When it says every one his day, I don't know if this is really meaning, on a separate day, their birthday. But his sons, they always were feasting, partying, drinking, okay? And sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, and that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Job would do sacrifices, offer sacrifices for his children, sins. Most High, he's the priest of the family. Let me make atonement for my children. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed Elohim in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. So he's perfect. He's upright. He is making intercession for his sons, his children, and his daughters. Just in case they have sinned, he's going to offer sacrifice. But he wants his family to be right before the Most High. He don't want the vengeance of the Most High to come down on his family. Verse 6. Now there was a day when the sun, and I want us to pay attention here, because we see that Job is a perfect and upright man. He's a good man. He's a good person. And what was just said about Job, that he's a good person, that he's upright, and he's righteous. This is the Most High's witness of him, because the Most High is going to say this in a second. Okay? Now there was a day when the sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Yah, and Satan came also among them. Underline that. Because Satan is a son of Elohim, whether you know it or not. The Most High created him. And he's among the sons of Elohim, but they're identifying Satan specifically. And let's see what the Most High does, what he says. And Yah said unto Satan, where comest thou? Where are you coming from? Then Satan answered Yah and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And Yah said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Now, why is the Most High asking Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Because Satan does a certain thing. Satan comes, he can only tempt you what's in you. But Satan has come to show what's in you, to reveal what's in you. If you got temptation for cigarettes, if you got temptation for drugs, if you got temptation for alcohol, if you got temptation for flesh, Satan don't know that. All he's got to do is observe you and see what you do, what you think you're doing in secret, what you think don't nobody know about, or what you don't care nobody knows about. Then he will come and tempt you with that thing. Especially, he don't have to tempt you until you are trying to serve the Most High. That's when he's going to come and try to tempt you to see if he can get you to break down, to reveal what's in you. That's what he does, okay? He don't make you do anything. Can't nobody, you know, unless Satan puts a gun to your head and says, you're going to do this or you're going to die, he's not making you do anything. So when they say, the devil made me do it, that's a lie. He can't make you do anything. What he does is tempts you, puts it in front of you. Let me see if you're going to bite this. Let me see if you believe this lie. Let me see if I can beguile you, seduce you to not serve the Most High. That's what he does. Let me see if you really for the Most High. Stop. So let's look at this. Yah said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man. Now the Most High is speaking. One that feareth Elohim and is accused or hates evil. Have you considered him? Have you looked at him? Have you tested him? Now this is what Satan is going to say. And Satan answered Yah and said, does Job fear Elohim for nothing? But there's a reason Job fears Elohim, because Job knows all of his blessings come from the Most High. Job knows that the Most High's word is true, and that he is just, and that when he judges, he's going to judge the wicked and the righteous. And Job wants to be on the right side. And he knows that the Most High don't play. He knows this. So he don't fear him for nothing. That's what Satan is saying. Does Job fear you for nothing? Now, look at what he says. Hast not thou made a hedge about, haven't you protected him? Job knows this. And about his house, haven't you protected him, his house, and all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he has. Now, this is Satan saying to the Most High, stop blessing Job and see if he won't curse you to your face. Now, this is what Satan does. Now, the Most High is the one bragging on Job. That's why I ask you, can the Most High brag about you? Because you may not want the Most High to be bragging about you, because the Most High might say, have you considered my servant Miles? And then Satan comes against you because the Most High wants to help you. I'm bragging about my servant. And Satan will say, hey, you blessing the works of his hands. You increasing them in the earth. Of course, he's going to worship you and serve you. Stop blessing him and see what he does. See if he won't turn away and curse you to your face. And Yah said unto Satan, now, keep track of this conversation. This is a conversation between the Most High and Satan. And Yah said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power now. it's in your power. I've been blessing him, but now I'm going to put it in your power. Only upon him, himself, put not forth your hand. Don't you touch him. Everything he got, since you said I gave it to him and I blessed him, it's in your hand now. But don't you touch him. So Satan went forth from the presence of Yah. Who said Satan? Yah did. Yah, Satan works for Yah. And Satan will say, hey, have you considered this? You don't bless him, watch and see what he does. Let me go down here. Now, Satan is doing some things, but he's doing it by permission and with the command of the Most High. He ain't doing it just on his own. And he'll never do nothing just on his own. So if you're going through some things, the Most High may want to see what's in you. The Most High may want to see, what is this one's breaking point? At what point will they curse me? At what point will they get mad at me? At what point will they stop serving me? Because this is what Satan does, and this is what the Most High wants to see. Have you considered my servant? Now let's see what Satan does. Satan goes forth, went forth from the presence of Yah. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the ass is feeding beside them. Now, his oxen are out in the field and they're just feeding. And the Sabians fell on them and took them away. All of your asses and all of your oxen, however many thousands that was, they're gone. The Sabians just took them. Okay? And yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. Those men that were watching those oxen and those asses and that were using them to plow the fields, they're all dead too. And I only am escaped alone to tell you, because Satan wants somebody to tell Job what has happened. Because the Most High has placed all that Job has in Satan's hands. So now Satan can do with it what he wants to do with it. But he says, Job, my servant, don't you touch him. You say he only serves me because I have blessed the works of his hands. I've blessed everything about him, his family and everything. So Satan starts with, let me have these men and come and take him and his asses and let them kill all of his servants. Now some people done died. Didn't say that these servants were wicked. But this is to test Job. Okay? So I only am escaped, alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, while this servant was still talking, there came also another and said, the fire of Elohim is fallen from heaven and has burnt up the sheep and thy servant and the servant and consumed them. So all of his sheep just got burnt up. And all of the servants that were watching those sheep got burnt up. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the sword, with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped, tell thee. And while he was yet talking, there came also another, and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell you. So all his possessions, his sheep, his oxen, his asses, his servants, his sons and his daughters, Satan had permission to touch them. And Satan then had the possessions taken away, and now his sons and daughters are dead. Keep all that kind of news. You at home, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and it's the bank saying, or it's the landlord saying, you got to get out now. Why? You got to go. Get out of the house. You got to vacate. The sheriff's outside to take you away and take in your car. Then the phone rings again, and it's the bank. Yeah, we just repossessed your car. Yeah, look outside. They're out there picking it up now. And then the bank calls and says, you know, all your credit cards, your debit card, the IRS put a block on your account, and they took all your funds, and your account is below, and we have closed. So you don't have no more money. And then the phone ring again when you just hung it up. And they tell you, you know, we're sorry to tell you, Mr. or Mrs. X, all your children were on their way to come and see you, and they all died. They were going to surprise you. The plane went down, and all your family was on it. How would you feel? What would you think? How would you react, more or less, to what has happened to Job? He has lost everything. Ain't got no money, ain't got no children, ain't got no servant, ain't got no possession. And he's a good, a upright, and a perfect man. And the Most High said, have you considered him? Have you tested him? Let me see. Because Satan is saying, hey, if you do all this to him, he's going to curse you to your face. The Most High allowed this. We have a problem if a little thing happens. We have some issues. We have some earthquakes in diverse places. But here's this man, Job. He lost everything. And Job, verse 20, then Job arose and rent or split, tore his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. He worshiped the Most High. Is that what you would do? All of this, you would think, I must have done something wrong for all this to come on me. My children, my servants, somebody then done something wicked. Just think, what would you think? And would you bow down and worship the Most High, or would you get caught up in your own feelings? You just took everything from me. Job worshiped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither from wherever I came from, not back into his mother's womb. Yah give it, Yah gave, and Yah has taken away. Blessed be the name of Yah. So Satan thinks that if he does all this stuff to Job, that Job is going to, he takes away everything from Job, that Job is going to curse the Most High to his face. Most High said, let's see. Everything that you have said, I put a hedge around him. I put a hedge around his family. I've blessed the works of his hands. All of that is in your hands, Satan. Do with it what you will, and let's see if what you say is true. Let's see if my servant's going to curse me. And Job worships the Most High. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged Elohim foolishly. Because see, when people think that, you know, the Most High didn't move the way I wanted him to, and all this evil come upon me, and he's not blessing me, and now I feel like I'm cursed. He has destroyed everything I put my hands to. And we say something we ought not say. We think something we ought not think. Job fell down and worshiped the Most High. And he didn't sin. He didn't blaspheme. He didn't say something against the Most High. Nor did he charge Elohim foolishly. Now, the Most High told Satan he can do this. But Job understands the sovereignty of the Most High. He does what he will. He knows this. This is why he acts the way that he acts. That's why he lives his life the way that he lives it, in fear of the Most High. He knows the Most High is the one that gave him everything, and the Most High can take it from him. Now, I can guarantee you, most of us would have a pity party. And we would get depressed, and we would, some of us would contemplate suicide, all kind of stuff. Because our faith is really in the works of our hands. Our faith and our security is what we feel like we have built up and put aside for ourselves, that we can take care of ourselves. It's like the parable when the man was so blessed that he built an extra barn to put all his blessings in, and the next day the Most High had killed him. Because his faith was in himself and in his riches. He did all that and somebody else spent it. Because he was looking at his faith being in himself. I got this stuff, now I'm secure. It is the Most High that blesses and gives riches. It's the Most High that allows us and gives us the ability to work and to bless the works of our hands that we achieve. And if we don't honor him with it and in it, we can do all that stuff. Save up $1 million, $2, $3 million. Something we think is going to, whatever we think or feel we need to last the rest of our days. And then we die before we ever get to touch any of it. And the Most High, see, you were foolish. Job understands this. So he blesses the Most High, and he worships the Most High, and he don't charge the Most High. Now, let's keep on going to chapter 2. And we're going to be in and out of Job because this book, we haven't gotten to why the Most High allows bad things to happen to good people. Because the truth of the matter is, there is really none that is good, the scripture says. No, not one. But in our eyes, we might think that somebody is good. We might think of innocence. We might think that everybody is without sin. We might think that little children and babies and old people are not subject to the whim or the will of the Most High. And a lot of times, we just don't want to put it where it really is. Job said, naked I came into this world, out of my mother's womb. And naked I shall return. I hope he's not saying to his mother's womb there. But from wherever I came, Yah gave, and Yah has taken away. Blessed be the name of Yah. If this is his will, then so be it. And he took everything. He gave me everything. He just took everything. And he didn't blame Satan. He didn't blame the Most High because he feared the Most High. But I want you to understand, Satan don't do anything without the blessings of the Most High. what he does. And Satan is a son of Elohim. When the sons of Elohim came before the Most High, Satan came also. And the Most High didn't say, get out of here, Satan. You ain't got no place in here. Where are you coming from? I'm coming from walking to and fro on the earth. What are they doing? Seeing who I can tempt. Seeing who I can make turn against you. Seeing what, if I can make them reveal what's really in their heart. Do they love you because they love you? Or do they only love you because you bless them? Because if you don't bless them, will they really continue to love you? And this is what he's saying about Job. You take away his blessing, he's going to curse you to your face. He don't really love you because he loves you. He loves you because you have blessed him. And Job sinned not. Neither did he charge Elohim foolishly. But see, we get up caught up in ourselves. We might think that we got a right to say some things that you ain't got no right to say. Because we don't place the Most High in his, where he should be in our life. He is sovereign. He is the highest. And if he gave me all this and if he takes it back, then that's his will. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, but I know that he's able to what? Provide for me. He did before. But we get caught up in what we can do. My hands got these things. I worked hard for these things. What if the Most High allowed sickness to come upon you where you couldn't work? Where you were bedridden or wheelchair ridden? Or you couldn't work. You couldn't survive in that environment. And now you're at the whim of society. And you couldn't work and get those things. You better know that you have done it because the Most High allowed it and he blessed the works of your hands. And if you don't give him all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, you can lose those things like that. But the Most High wants to know, Satan, you said my servant Job only blesses my name because I bless him and that I protect him. All that I have given him, it's in your hands. You do with it what you want. You want to take it from him, take it from him. That even comes down to his family. You can do what you want with them too. But don't you touch him. But Satan ain't finished yet. Go to Job chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Yah. And Satan came also among them to present himself before Yah. He bows to the Most High like everything else. And see, we would have made Satan this mystical being and like he's a total renegade from the Most High. But he presents himself just like every other being. And he presents himself before Yah. And Yah said unto Satan, from whence, from where comest thou? Where are you coming from? Report. And Satan answered Yah and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And Yah said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Now he bringing Job back up again. You didn't already took everything from him. You didn't touch him. That there is none like him in the earth. Perfect and upright man. One that feareth Elohim. and infuse evil, and still he holds fast his integrity, although thou move me against him. Now, Yah said, you asked me, you said that if I stop blessing him, that he would curse me. And you moved me to allow you to come against him, to destroy him without cause. Satan did this. Satan said to the Most High, if you take away his blessings, he will curse you. Yah says, and you said that if I took away all of his blessings, he would curse me. But he shall hold fast to his integrity. He ain't cursed me. Even though I moved against him, because Satan don't do. Satan works on behalf of the Most High, is what I'm trying to get you to see. And Satan is an advisor. And you caused me to move against him without a cause, serving me. Have you considered him? See what Satan said. And Satan answered God and said, skin for skin. Yeah, all that a man has will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. So now Satan wants to take it a little bit further. You wouldn't let me touch him before. You told me that I could take everything that you blessed him with, even to his kids, his family. And I did that. But you ain't did nothing to him. And if you hurt him, you told me I couldn't touch him, but if you hurt him, he's going to curse you to your face. If you allow me to hurt him, you allow me to touch his bone and his flesh, him, he'll curse you to your face. And Yah said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand. But don't kill him. Save his life, everything with him. Take his health. Give him every disease you want to give him, but don't kill it. Did God tell Satan that about you? Could he say, all this sister, this brother, they're in your hands now. But don't kill them. So you come down with cancer. You come down with some weird disease. Only 0.5% of the, you know, 0.00005% of 1%. One every 10,000 years comes up with this disease. You get it. You got hemorrhoids hanging out your behind 3 feet long. You got sores breaking upon you that, you know, it's just raw flesh. You in agony, because this is what Satan is going to do to this man. He's going to put him in pure agony. Could you be tortured? And this is what it is akin to Satan's going to do to him. I can do anything to him I want to do, but I just can't kill him. And it's at the direction of the Most High. And the Most High's testimony about Job is he is perfect and upright, good man. Will he continue to serve me? Will he continue to bless me? Is Satan right? If I allow him to touch him, to curse him and make him sick, will he curse me? Will he stop serving me? Verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of Yah and smote Job with sore, boil, from the sole of his foot unto the crown of his, unto his crown, the top of his head. Boils. If you ever had a boil, they hurt. When I used to eat pork years ago, I was getting boils and didn't know where they were coming from. And these boils would be like a knot that would come up, and it'd be full of pus. And the only way you could get it to stop hurting was to bust it and get that pus out of it. And that, you know, that one would stop hurting, and then it would heal. But then another one would come because I was still eating the pork. Come up on your neck. They'll come up on your head. They'll come up on your back. They'll come up, you know, in your groin area, your thighs, your legs, your feet. It can pop up anywhere. But as long as they are inflamed, they will hurt. And if you bust them, they may break into an open sore and look bad. This is what Satan has done to him. So he's not feeling good. He ain't resting good either. If he moves, he might hurt. He lay down, he probably hurt. If these boils are from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. If he walks, it's painful. He's being tortured to the max. And this is with the permission of the Most High. You can do whatever you want to him. Just don't kill him. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself. He's going to bust these things open. To scrape himself all over, all over. And he sat down among the ashes. Then his wife unto him. Now his wife said this. Job didn't say this. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Are you still not going to curse the Most High to his face and curse Elohim and die? Now this is his Isha. Satan using her. Aren't you going to curse God and die? But he said unto her, thou speakest as one, as a foolish woman speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of Elohim and shall not receive evil? Remember the Most High says, I create good and I create evil. I, Yah, do all these things. Job knows this. So he's telling his wife, you talking out the side of your neck, woman. You trying to get me to curse Elohim and die? You talking stupid. In all this did not Job sin with his lips, whom he loved, who gave him his children. He trying to get him to curse Elohim. You in all that pain, you got all them boils and sores all over. You scrape your whole body. He was busting these things open. I'm telling you, I used to get them. When I stopped eating pork, I stopped getting them. I stopped eating pork long before I came to the Most High, not knowing that I shouldn't eat pork, because my brother was also getting these boils, and he found out from the doctor that it was coming from the pork. So when he told me, I said, dude, these things hurt. I'm going to stop eating pork. And so I knew why the Most High said that pork was unclean. Because it was, if it's causing this, I don't want none of this. Even though I like the way bacon tastes, even though I like the way ham tastes, wasn't that I didn't like pork. I grew up with it. I just wasn't eating no chitlins. But I like pork. Sometimes I still miss it. Some crunchy bacon and some grits. But we ain't going there. So Joe understood this. He had these boils. He's hurting. breaks his body all over. He busts these things open. That's the only relief he can get. And his wife sees it. You in agony, dude. You still love the Most High like that? Why don't you just curse him and die? You stupid woman. You talking foolish. Yah is the one that we shall receive good from. And Yah is the one that we shall receive evil. He knows. But we want to give credit to Satan. Especially if it's something evil. I'm telling you, Yah is doing everything. He has agents that work on his behalf, but he's doing everything. So nothing do nothing without his permission. We the only one, his children. Disobedient. Disobedient. We are the only one. The only thing in the creation that disobeys him. And if you got a child, you know how your child will come against you and disobey you. The Most High knows it too. All you got to do, he's got a whole world full of them. We're the only thing in the creation. The creation never sinned against the Most High. There were some angels that the Most High gave free will, and they did it also. The Most High gave us free will, and guess what? We chose to sin against him. The Most High, those angels that left their former estate, he locked them up. Y'all can't be running around here doing what y'all doing. You're locked up until judgment day. And I'm going to throw all y'all, I got a special place prepared for everything that's disobedient to me. It's called the Lake of Fire. And it's designed to torment spiritual beings. So Satan, there's a place for you. Lucifer, there's a place for you. All you angels that left your former estate, there's a place for you. Because before this, there was nothing to torment you. Nothing that would hurt you. But I've made a place. And now even my children, whom I created, who I created in my own likeness and in my image, and I allowed you to tempt them to show which ones are really going to be for me and which ones aren't. In the end, I'm going to give them eternal life just like I gave to Satan, just like all the angels. They're eternal beings. They cannot die. I'm going to give my children eternal life again, and they won't be able to die, but all of them that are evil, I'm going to throw them in that same fire that I made for you and all the other ones that rebelled against me. But Satan eventually rebels. Satan rebels in the end of the world. And he wants to be worshipped. So I got a special place for you. But in this time, Satan is doing the will of the Most High, and he's working on behalf of the Most High. And he does the evil for the Most High. At the Most High, keep moving. So understand, at the Most High, he's the one that creates good, and he creates evil. Job knows this. And he's not going to speak against it. Now, just mark that spot. We'll come back to this. These verses another time, starting in Job chapter 2, verse 11. Because we want to see, we see that Job won't sin against the Most High. He won't curse the Most High. Even though he was perfect, he was making sacrifices for himself and his children. He was doing what was right in the eyes of the Most High. In the law can't save you without Messiah. Because once you are a sinner, you are a sinner. And you were created in iniquity. The very act that created you, the Most High says, was an act of sin. It's an unclean act. And he said being unclean is a sin. So even your very conception was sin. You were created in sin. You were created without the Spirit of the Most High. So you were carnal. You are a creature of the world. And the ways of mankind without the Spirit of the Most High, his thoughts are evil continually. That's why the Most High destroyed the first world. It's like, you know, I didn't give them my law. Not all of mankind, but their thoughts. It's not in them to do good. Their thoughts are evil continually. Just scheming how they can do, you know, get over on somebody. Just scheming into, you know, I can break into this house. I can steal this. Oh, that brother's woman, she loose. I can sleep with her. Oh, she ain't got control of her own man. She ain't doing him right. I can slip in and take him from her. Just thinking evil always. And don't even consider it. Especially when we're young. We just, you know, how can I get over? How can I get her to lay with me? How can I get him to give me his money? Whatever it is, I don't know every person's thought, but I know that our thoughts, there's none of us that's good. No, not one. And we've had some evil thoughts, and we've done some evil things, and we've done some wicked things. And y'all know this. He says, unless you convert, unless you be changed, you cannot enter into my kingdom. I'm not going to allow it. So we have to learn the truth of the Most High. I create good, and I create evil. And I might send some evil your way to test you. Something might happen to your child so that I can see what's in you. Job lost all of his children. Our children get sick. We think it's an unjust thing. Our children get deathly ill. When we pray with everything we got, y'all save my child. Y'all please remove this wickedness. I rebuke this evil spirit. Y'all says it's my will that that child dies. They die, and now we are sick and upset. And we, you know, we may stop worshiping the Most High. We may get a chip on our shoulder. How could he let this happen? It might be a test to test you. Your child, in the eyes of the Most High, is innocent. I'm going to resurrect him on the last day, and he's going to enter into my kingdom, or she's going to enter into my kingdom. Never have to worry about this stuff again. You had to go through. The point is, this is all in the Most High's hands, and he will do what he will do, and he may want to see. Are you worshiping me with your lips in word only, but not in deed? You saying you'll do this and you'll do that, and you in front of people, you acting this way and you acting that way. But when I put your behind in the fire, let me see what impurities come up. Let me see how deep that goodness runs on you. Is that goodness and that righteousness only skin deep? If I cut that skin away, what am I going to find? Am I going to find wickedness and corruption and evilness? Or am I going to find that you would really and truly serve me? that you are good through and through, that you are righteous through and through. What am I going to find in you? Let me put you in the fire. Because see, a lot of times, trials and tribulations come in our life to prove us and to refine us, to strengthen us. And, you know, there's certain things that we can take. And then there comes a point when we say, you know what? This ain't fair. This ain't right. Yeah, how could you allow this? What did I do? You might have been like Job. You might have been doing everything that you know to do. And you might even appear and be righteous in the eyes of the most righteous Elohim. That's what the testimony of Job is. And not of his own mouth, it's the testimony of the Most High about him. Have you considered him? He's a good man. He's good because you blessed. Take away the blessed. Take away his children. Take away his house. Take away his living. Take every blessing that I've given him away. They're in your hands. Will you curse the Most High? Will you stop serving him? Will you lose faith? Or do you understand that it's all in his hands? He really is sovereign. Because a lot of people will say, you know, if Elohim is that way, if God is that way, then I won't serve him. I've heard people say that. Of who God is something that they've made up in their own mind. They're not worshiping the Elohim of the Bible. They're not worshiping the creator of heaven and earth and all that there is in. They're not, that's not who they're worshiping. They're worshiping the God that they have made up in their own mind. And my God will do this and my God won't do that. Because if my God did that, in my eyes and in my mind and in my heart, that is unrighteous. That is unjust. And they'll go about to establish their own righteousness above the righteousness of Elohim. And this is what our forefathers did. They went about to establish their own righteousness above the righteousness of Elohim. No, Yah, you said if we do this, we ought to die. We don't believe we should die for that. If we don't obey you, you should have mercy. You shouldn't be killing us. You said if my child cursed me or hit me, if that child was supposed to die, Yah, I can't kill my child. I won't kill my child. What you're saying is not right. And I don't believe it's right, so I ain't doing it. This is what they did, and we still do it today. We still do it today. Go to Romans chapter 3, I believe. Not in the scripture, but we're going to go, not in my lesson plan, but we're going to go there. No, it's not that one. It must be 8. Ten. The book of Romans, chapter 10. I want you to hear what the problem was with our forefathers. You see, Job understands this. It is Yah that creates good, and it's Yah that creates evil. He's doing everything. And he has agents that work for him, and Satan is one of them. And Yah wants a people that's obedient to him. obey my voice. Do what I tell you to do. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Do exactly what I told you. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Elohim for Israel is that they might be saved. Might be saved. For I bear them record that they, Israel, have a zeal of Elohim, but not according to knowledge. Wait a minute, we got the scriptures. We have the word of the Most High. But we still don't know what the hell we talking about, the vast majority of us. We think we know, but if we knew, we wouldn't act the way that we act. We wouldn't do the things that we do. We would know what Job knows. We would fear the Most High like Job fears the Most High. We would understand that Elohim will do what he will. He gave me everything. We would know this. For I bear them record that they have a seal of Elohim, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant, unknowing of Elohim's righteousness. See, Israel, our forefathers, never understood the righteousness of Elohim. He's the one that says and defines what is right and what is wrong. Eating pork is wrong because he said it's wrong. Killing another man for no reason is wrong because he said it's wrong. If he said it was right, we could go about killing anybody we want to because he said it was right. All right. We got to understand that. Peter had a problem. Peter understood the Most High said, don't you go mixing with these nations, these heathen nations that are serving other gods, because you might be tempted to worship the way that they worship. And you might be tempted to worship me the way that they worship their gods, their Elohim. Don't mix with them. Peter knew this. So when the Most High sent the Spirit to him and said, hey, I'm going to accept the Gentiles. Peter of his own volition would never go to the Gentiles. It was unlawful. He was keeping the law. That was a law. That was a commandment. Don't mix with them people. So to get him to do it, the Most High shows him a vision of unclean animals that he's been told, you don't eat these things. You don't even touch them. Because if truth be known, for you to even touch something unclean makes you unclean. We think that we got to eat pork or shrimp or whatever to make us unclean. No, if you touch it, go back and read the law concerning that. If you touch it, it makes you unclean. So what happens when you eat it? Okay, this Peter knows. So the Most High shows him this vision of this sheep with all these this sheep full of unclean animals. And creeping things that are an abomination to touch. Even more hateful, worse than, you know, eating a pork. Peter, get down, kill, and go eat. Not so, Yah. I have never, nothing uncommon or clean has ever touched my lips. Look, dummy. What I declare to be clean, don't you declare to be unclean. If I tell you that these things are now clean, they are clean. I'm the one that determined, that told you they were unclean. If I change my mind, if I change and tell you that they are now clean. Now, people will take that verse, those verses, and say, oh, see, Yah said everything is clean to eat. That's not what he was doing it as an example to Peter. I told you that the Gentiles were unclean. Don't go among them and worship their gods. But I'm going to save a people out of the Gentiles for myself. So I'm changing the law concerning that. Now you can go to the Gentiles and take this gospel to them. But he wasn't saying that the animals were now clean. He wasn't saying that because he was using the animals as an example, an allegory, to show Peter that I'm now going to accept the Gentiles and that in every nation, they that fear me are accepted with me. But he had to tell that to Peter three times. I'm not eating that stuff. I don't care what you say. What did I just tell you? Didn't I just tell you that I said that it was clean, go eat? It took three times to convince Peter and to get him to follow the Most High in his will. And he still was thinking about it. Until he received a revelation. So you're talking about the Gentiles. And you're talking about in every nation, those that fear you are accepted with you. Those animals were just an example. So we got to understand our forefathers, and even us today, we go about, we're ignorant of Elohim Christ. He's the one that says what's right and what's wrong. And if he says doing something is wrong, and tomorrow he tells you it's right, he's in charge. And we don't give him that authority. We don't give him that authority in our lives. And if he tells you, if he makes a judgment on something, it is my judgment that when somebody does X, Y, or Z, this is my judgment. This is what I want you to do. Most I can't do that. Oh, you're going to be disobedient. You're going to do what you want to do. This is what our forefathers did. Israel was ignorant of this, of his righteousness. I declare what's right and I declare what's wrong. I'm going to bring about what I want to bring about, what I want to happen. It ain't about what you want because you were created for me and my pleasure. We think it's about us. It ain't about us. Keep reading. And going about to establish their own righteousness. So they were ignorant of Elohim's righteousness and went about to establish their own. Yeah, you know what you said about that. We can't do that. We won't do that. We're not going to do that. You know what you said, but, you know, I got a drunk son. He won't work. He just sleep all day, sit around on his behind. I don't like it. But you told me if my son act that way and he won't do what I say do, I was to take him to the elders and they were to stone him. That was Most High's judgment. That child should die. You know, there might be something mentally wrong with them, y'all. This came forth from between my legs. You're only human. I can hear the Most High. Oh, like I don't know that. Like I didn't know that before I told you. So I'm using these extreme examples because this is what our forefathers did. They, being ignorant of Elohim's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. This is what I think is right. This is how I think I should handle this. Standards are not the world's standards. And we want to bring the world's standards into our worship and our service to the Most High. Surely he didn't mean that. He understands that we're only human. When we do that, we are worshiping the God of our mind. We're not worshiping the God of the Bible or the God. If he's the one that had this written, and this is who he says that he is, and we do otherwise, we have other feelings about this. So we're going to do what we want to do. And then we wonder why bad things happen to who we perceive are good people. Going about to establish our own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Elohim. See, there's some things we can agree with. Somebody come in your house and they're attacking you for no reason, you got a right to kill them. Oh, we can get with that. But when it comes to our own flesh and blood and to our side, I know you said that, but you didn't really mean that. I know you didn't mean that. I can't do that. I won't do that. I've had people tell me that. And then tell me that they're worshiping the Most High Elohim. But see, I'm coming straight from his law. Oh, those things change. No, they haven't. They have not changed. And he didn't erase his judgment. His ruling, because judgments are rulings. So when you go to a court and you have a case and you present your evidence and the senators and the congressmen and the lawmakers have gotten together and said, hey, this is the law. If you break it, this is the penalty. You go to court, the judge says, what is the law? The law is this. What are you accusing them of? Some of this. Well, you violated that law. What penalty can I exact, can I enforce from the law? That's the judgment of the judge. Let me determine if you are innocent or you're guilty. And if you're guilty, what is the penalty that I can enforce by the law? So if the law says, oh, you kill somebody in America, if it was manslaughter, you might go to jail 5 to 10 years. If it was murder, you might get life. If it's the way you murdered them or how many you murdered, we might take your life. Okay? That's man's law. And we okay with that. We cool with that. But when the Most High says, if this happens, this is my judgment and I am the Most High. There is no judge above me. And I say, do this, and you won't do it, you go about to establish your own righteousness and have not submitted yourself unto the righteousness of Elohim. That's just too hard. That's why Messiah said, when we do our foundations of apostleship, if you love your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, your children, even your own self, more than you love me, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot follow me. You're not going to do what I tell you to do. You're going to establish your own rights. And if I do something or I allow something to happen that's within my will, and in your own eyes, you perceive it as evil, you're going to make a judgment out of your own heart that may be against my will. And justify yourself. And establish in your own heart and in your own mind that how you feel about this thing and what you think about it, it's more righteous than what I say. This is what our forefathers did. Job understands that the Most High is sovereign. When we pray to him, we make a petition, a request. It ain't an order to the Most High. It's a request. And he can say no. And if he says no, that means shut up and color. If he decides that, you know what? Good one. They're walking before me. And see, what we have an understanding of perfect is not what perfect means in the scriptures. Perfect means that you're obeying him and you're doing what he says to do. That's perfect. You are feeding the hungry and the fatherless and the widow. That's perfect. You are forgiving your brother and your sister when they sin against you. That's being perfect. What the Most High says is right and wrong. That is what's right and wrong. And when he says, do X, to do. And when it comes down to somebody, us, or somebody that we love, all of a sudden we don't want to follow him. So we worship him with our lips. But he says, your heart is far from me. You are a pseudo-worshipper. You worship me when it's good, but when it comes to, if I really call for something from you, you will deny it to me. If I tell you to do something, if you don't think it's right, you won't do it. You won't obey my voice. And then you'll question, is that really y'all talking to me? We'll come up with all kind of things. We know what was said. It's not what we want to do. Then all of a sudden become the teachers. That's the teachers. That's your opinion. Anything but do what the Most High said do. Establish our own righteousness and won't submit ourselves unto the righteousness of Elohim. But then we want him to answer our prayers. We want him to move on our behalf. You know, when we doing wrong and we be blessed, we believe that it's the Most High doing it. But the Most High could have told Satan, put everything that they have and everything they're going to get is in your hands. And Satan start blessing you instead of taking from you. Because you're not walking in righteousness, you're walking in unrighteousness. As long as he can keep you walking in unrighteousness and blessing you for it, you're going to stay in unrighteousness. Hear what y'all are saying. And we confuse blessings when they're really cursed. Because we're not doing what the Most High said to do. We're doing what's right in our own mind. We're establishing our own righteousness over here. This is what the problem was with our forefathers. This is what they would not keep. This is why you hear every Hebrew Israelite say, we keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. You will not hear them say, we keep the judgment. I ain't heard it once. That's why we read Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1, as part of our statement of faith. It said, specifically, my judgments and my statutes. It's the judgments and the statutes Israel has never wanted to keep. And then we get out of whack with the Most High because we're walking in disobedience. And then we want the Most High to work on our behalf. We want him to move on our behalf. We want him to rule favorably on our behalf. It happened to good people. Yah wants to know. It may not even, that thing that's happening to that certain person may not even be about that person. Job was afraid that his children were sinning. They're over there partying and drinking and having a good time. Who knows if they have not cursed the Most High? Let me make a sacrifice just in case they have sinned. And who knows? Because the scripture don't say. But see, we will think that really the scripture is against party. But we won't, you know, if that's what we like to do, we're about having a good time, see nothing wrong with it. But when we read the Most High's word and he's against it, then we'll establish our own righteousness. We'll do what we want to do and we'll justify it. Because, see, when people get drunk, they get high. You become open to other spirits. You become open to your will being and to the real you coming out. When you putting on that fake you, you want to do it, but you know what? I know it's wrong, so I'm not going to do it. But I really, in my heart, I want to do it. So give me something that uninhibits me, like some alcohol or some weed or whatever it is. And I can do this thing, and then I can say, you know, I was drunk, high. I really wanted to do it, but I wasn't brave enough to do it. So let me inhibit my thoughts and give myself permission to do what I know I shouldn't do. So let us stop here because it's at 8 o'clock. I could go on and on in this thing even right now. I don't know if part 2 is going to be tomorrow morning. Yeah, we'll go ahead and say part 2 of this is going to be tomorrow morning. We will continue in this thing. I want you to think about Job understands. It is Yah that is in control of everything. And we have a say in what we do and what we don't do. We have free will. And the Most High hasn't taken that from us because think about this. If you told your children they had to love you because you said, you got to love me because I'm your mom or I'm your dad, and that's the only reason that they got to love you, because you said so. But they don't know everything they've seen about you don't project love. It don't project caring. It don't project nurturing. I see you doing some wickedness. I see you doing things that are convenient to you, but they may not be convenient to me, the child. So the child looks at you and says, I don't know. Why do you love me? Because you said so. But when the rubber really hits the road, you find out that they really don't love you because how you perceive yourself and how they perceive you is something different. But you're supposed to love me because I said so. The Most High don't want robots. He don't want us as his children to love him because he said so. He wants us to learn about him and then learn to love him. But he first wants us to fear him. Because if you don't fear him, you're not even going to learn how to properly love him. You're going to be loving from, oh, he's my father. I've heard women even say, he's my lover. They don't got a man, so all of a sudden the Most High becomes their lover. I'm like, how does that work? He is whatever, but not what he is supposed to be. He's what you have made him to be. And that's really called idolatry. have made up an Elohim in your own mind. And he's this way. And so, you know, you can do what you want to do. You can make up what you want to make up in your own mind. You don't make it true. It don't make it real. And it don't change Elohim. So our forefathers got us scattered to all the nations of the world because they established their own righteousness. They would not obey the judgments of the Most High. They had the statutes, laws, and commandments. They didn't want to carry out the statutes and the judgments. We'll do this thing in word only, but when it really comes down to doing it, we're not doing that. This is better. We should get a second and a third chance. I made a mistake. Do you know with the Most High, you really don't get mistakes? Go back and look how he deals with most people who made mistakes. They didn't get the treatment David got. Death came quick. The judgment was carried out quickly. And he told us, when you carry out these judgments, do it without mercy. But we want to be merciful, you know, because we don't want to do that because, hey, we might have done that. That could be us. Not the way the Most High operates. So he used Satan and told Satan, hey, you brought a charge against my perfect and good servant Job. Let's see if it's true. Put yourself in Job's shoes. How would you have reacted in that same situation? Would you have bowed down and worshiped the Most High? Or would you have cursed the Most High? You know, as we get older, we know we become diseased. We know our body starts to break down and we expect to get sick. And we might even accept some things. But when we were 18, 19, 20 years old, 15, 14, 13, 6, if we had gotten cancer or some rare disease, if we had to have a leg or an arm amputated, would we still believe in the Most High? Would we be blessing his name and would we be worshiping him? Or would we think it's unfair? I'm only 15 years old. It's not fair. I saw on TV, I think it was on American Idol or America's Got Talent. Young girl, I think she was 19 years old, had to have a hysterectomy because she had cervical cancer. Never going to have children. Now, if she really, really wanted children and a family, then she's probably going to be upset. It's not fair. Or does she worship the Most High and says, your will be done? If it ain't meant for me to have children, I won't have children. I can serve you better. I don't have that responsibility. I won't even get married. Just allows me to spend more time with you and spend my energy on you. See, this is what Paul says. That's why he says it's better to be single. But if you can't resist and you can't go without that physical touch, if you can't go without sex, then marry. It's better to marry than to burn. It's choices. And it all comes down to what degree and how much of your life are you willing to give to the Most High? Do you want to give him your all? Or is your desire to procreate and to reproduce greater in your desire to serve him. Perspective. And this is what Paul brings to the table, perspective. So let's bow our heads. Father Yah, it is you. You are the great I am. You are the creator of everything, and all things were created for your pleasure, Father. When you came into the earth, you told us, you want to know how to pray to me? This is how you pray to me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Do you really want his will to be done in heaven and in earth? If it means that you got to lose somebody, if it means that you got to lose a limb, if it means that you got to be poor, if it means that you have to die for his glory, do you want his will to be done? Or do you want his will to be done when it's blessing you, all is going well, you don't seem like Satan can get at you at all? When do you want his will to be done in your life? When will you stop worshiping him? What will it take? That's what Job is all about. There's something wrong with Job. You got to read into the book to find out what is actually wrong with him and where his breaking point was and what was the true nature of what was wrong with him. Reason why the Most High pointed him out. Looks like he's doing everything perfect and upright, but there is still something wrong. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I really, really, really do love you, but I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And you have to understand his love. But you also have to fear him and keep his commandments, saints. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. I'll see you in the morning if you choose to attend lesson for this or when I see you. Peace and blessings. Good grief.
Without you, there's no need.
So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I
Peace and blessings to everyone. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you.